Good morning. I call House Special Committee on Fisheries to order. Today is Tuesday, April 25th, 2024, and the time is 10:03 a.m. We are meeting in the Max Grunberg Committee Room 120 in the Capitol Building here in Juneau. The staff assisting us today is Shelby with the Juneau LIO and Cheryl with House Records. The following members present is Representative Hemshoot, Representative Carpenter, Representative Stutes, Representative McCabe, and myself, Chair Vance. We have a quorum to conduct business. We have one item on today's calendar, and that is to bring back SER 10, Joint Legislative. I'm ahead of myself. I apologize. We have HR 8, and we're going to open up for public testimony because we do have someone online. So let me back that up. We will take public testimony on these two items, and then we will take up SER 10 to amend and move. So I will now open up public testimony on House Resolution 8. We'll go to Carl Holman online. Please state your name for the record. You have 2 minutes.
My name is Carl Holman. I lived out in Dutch Harbor from 1997 to 2004 and worked in the fishing industry, servicing the fishing boats. I handled all their gear. I would see their gear when it go out to them and when it came back. The Pollock fishery was supposed to be a midwater fishery. They have gear, which they call tire gear, and it's truck tires that are strung together with steel cables, and these hang underneath their nets to protect the nets from the bottom. When a boat would go out, they would have a brand new set of tire gear. When they came back 30 days later, it would be shredded. That's not really doing a midwater fishery. That's scraping the bottom. Later, I was on a trawl boat, and I actually saw what kind of bycatch was coming out of the side doors. And when you have king crab, you have halibut, you have flounder, you have tanner and snow crab all going out that bycatch door, they're obviously not midwater fishing. On top of that, the amount of salmon that would go out was just atrocious. What they're doing out there is destroying the bottom of the ocean. And if you destroy the bottom, you have nothing for the small fish. I'm not a marine biologist. I'm just somebody that's been around the water all my life. And I've seen what happens when you destroy the bottom. You end up with a dead zone. And if they continue doing what they're doing out there, they are going to completely destroy the Bering Sea. Now, I understand that this Pollock fishery has lobbyists that are basically buying our politicians.
Mr. Holman, your 2 minutes is up. Could you please complete your testimony?
I would just like to say we need to do something now out there in the Bering Sea, because otherwise we are not going to have a fishery much longer. Thank you very much.
Mr. Holman, we have a question from Representative McCabe.
So thanks, Mr. Holman. Thanks for your testimony. Oh, yes, I wonder if you'd consider writing an email to the committee with your written testimony. And you can go on as long as you want, but I think it's important to have this written down in this bill and in this arena. So yours is a very important testimony, and I don't want it to get lost in the shuffle.
If you could send a written testimony to house.fisheries@akleg.gov, that would be helpful. I can distribute that to committee members.
Okay, I can do that.
I have a comment.
We have Representative Stutes.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Holman. Appreciate your testimony. And when you send in your written testimony, you said you've worked on the docks and you've also fished. It would be interesting to have you write down also any other bycatch from other gear types that you might be have been exposed to.
I can do that also, yes.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Next, we have Edward Johnson from Sitka. If you can please state your name for the record, you have 2 minutes.
My name is Edward C. Johnson. I live in Sitka, Alaska. I've been a commercial fisherman for 42 years. I've been out to Dutch Harbor many times. It's probably a MARSEC area, but used to be able to walk around behind the surimi plants, and there were totes lined out where some of the bycatch would be sorted plant side and come out chutes, go into totes, and then be driven over and loaded into the grinder and ground and destroyed. Also, I'd like to address the issue of could we legislatively potentially make it so that the North Pacific Management Council appointments by our state of Alaska were no longer a revolving door of trawling, lobbyists, big industry players, and whatnot, bring back some balance and conservation to the board. It seems like, I know someone has to do it, but we've given away too much of the power to the governor to seat those positions. And I propose a moratorium of, say, 10 years so that the lobbyists, the National Marine Fisheries officials, government officials, cannot participate in the management decisions that are being made, a moratorium on them to return to be board members.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Management. Can you please wrap up your comments? Your 2 minutes are up.
Okay. Thank you for your time today. I think what's being done is totally unsustainable, and we are crashing bread and butter Alaskan fisheries, and most of the pollock is going to China. The Alaskan fishermen, the community villages, what's being done to the villages in the southwest drainages of Alaska, to me, is tantamount to a human rights violation, and I consider it cultural cleansing. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, we have Julian Ramirez from Anchorage. If you could please state your name for an affiliation for the record, you have 2 minutes.
Through the chair, my name is Julian Ramirez. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak today. I work as a salmon and clean water organizer at the Alaska Center. I'd like to commend the committee for taking up this important matter, and I'd especially like to commend the chair on her decision to remove language regarding bycatch utilization from the resolution. Although allowing the retention of fish would technically reduce bycatch, there are other actions that might act to reduce bycatch at its source and conserve fish populations so they can later be better utilized by subsistence users and small boat fishermen legally seeking out salmon, halibut, and crab. We need to keep fish in Alaska. Such possible actions that we support include 100% 24-hour observer coverage in the Gulf of Alaska and Bering Sea trawl fisheries to allow for the thorough and accurate documentation of prohibited species catch. We support calls for the governor to nominate a tribal member to a designated seat on the NPFMC. We also support calls for a connection between the management of state fisheries and federal fisheries. The ADF&G commissioner appointed seat is in a great position to advocate for a greater relationship so that then ADF&G closes an area to fishing targeted PSC species that same area is close to trawl. Thank you again for taking the time to take up this resolution and listen to public testimony. It's often pointed out that climate change has a large adverse effect on fish populations that outweighs trawl bycatch impacts. And while warming waters do have a tangible impact on cold water fish populations, bycatch does as well. Reducing bycatch to stabilize populations is within our control, and we should continue to pursue it. Thank you again for your time.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have David Bott from Soldotnet. If you could please state your name for the record, you have 2 minutes.
Hi, my name is David Bott, and I represent myself. And thank you for the opportunity to make these comments. I think the most important action is to get the trawlers off the bottom. We know that that is an extremely destructive fishery. We know that because of the loophole having to do with the technical definition of gear, that they're allowed to drag the bottom, even in protected areas. We know that dragging the bottom creates long-term damage. That dramatically impacts the ability of the fishery to recover. And in fact, there's never been a study on how long it takes the bottom to recover in the Arctic. So instead of talking about decades to recover in warmer waters, we could be talking about centuries to recover. Oftentimes, climate change is allocated the blame for the diminishing of our fisheries in Alaska. And that's used an excuse for not taking responsibility for destructive fishing practices. Climate change no doubt has an impact, but that does not justify making it worse. Now, recently NOAA came out with a study showing that bottom trawling puts a tremendous amount of carbon, pulls it out of the bottom, puts it into the water column. Half of that carbon goes into the atmosphere. So the trawlers dragging bottom are contributing to the problem of climate change. And of course, the terrible crime against nature for the extent of wanton waste.
Mr. Bo, your 2 minutes are up. Could you wrap up your comments?
Okay. Yes. So we have a fishing crisis throughout the country, throughout the state, and we obviously concern about wanton waste is incorporated into that. And one last thing is the Alaska Constitution requires sustainable management of our natural resources. We do not have that in the trawler industry. Thank you very much for the opportunity to make these comments.
Thank you. Next, we have Carol Basarjan from Homer. Please state your name for the record. You have 2 minutes.
Hello. Good morning. My name is Kirill Basarjan. I represent K-Bay Fisheries, and I'm a member and a representative. I represent the communities in Alaska and fishermen. We are based out of Kenai Peninsula. We represent over 200 fishermen and over 600 community members, children, and families. We are concerned about the trawl fleet. We have been fishing here for many generations. We are fourth generation small fishermen. Our fathers were vessel builders since 1970. fishing has been exploited to the trawl fleet extensively, destroying our ocean. Gulf of Alaska, Kachemak Bay was the first one that they destroyed. Fishing in Kachemak Bay has been devastated for generations. It only started coming back here within a few years. Gulf of Alaska here, Gore Point, all the way to Seward, is destroyed. There is no fish. There is no cod fishery no more, even for the jig fleet. They're destroying Prince William Sound. There's no kings coming into the rivers anymore. There's no shrimp. The shrimp pot guys are devastated. This year, there's no shrimp in this puny little bay because the troll guys destroyed the spawning ground. They were in Chillicothe Strait this January. 20-plus trawlers destroying Chillicothe Strait. What the heck are they doing in Chillicothe? That is the most vital place. It's a sanctuary for fish. It's destructive. Unimac Pass, they're bottom fishing. The halibut lives there. They're spawning grounds for crab, for gosh sake.
Carol, your 2 minutes are up. Can you wrap up your comments, please?
Yes. There is no time or effort anymore. Trawl fishing needs to be banned and stopped, and they need to have recourse, and they need to pay for the, and penalize and pay for every single fish, small fishery out of their pocket, and they need to be held for the held consequences on our part.
Thank
for
you.
Every single community to be reimbursed for their destruction. That's all I have.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Tony Arsenault from Homer. If you could please state your name for the record, you have 2 minutes.
Yeah, hello. Hello, this is, my name is Tony Arsenault. I run a charter business in Homer, Falcon Charters, for the last 39 years. Thank you for the opportunity to speak. First of all, I'd just like to say I agree with the last five people I've heard testify about this. The top priority in this bill should be to reduce the bycatch. I'm not going to go on too long about this. I would just really like to say I'm very, very disappointed in Governor Dunleavy and Doug Vincent Lang, the Commissioner of Fish and Game, for saying to the North Pacific Council that no action was needed on bycatch. It's absolutely ridiculous. There is action needed. They're basically scouring the bottom of the ocean out there in the Bering Sea. And like the gentleman before me just said, the Chillicothe Strait, where there's not many observers on board these trawlers, and the king salmon run right through there. And so does everything else. So anyway, those are my thoughts. And thank you for the opportunity to speak. And I'll let you move on to the next caller. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your testimony. I believe, we have Brooke Woods is back on in Fairbanks. Please state your name for the record. You have 2 minutes.
Good morning. My name is Brooke Woods. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, please continue.
Thank you. I am a tribal member from Rampart on the Yukon River. Currently, our Chinook salmon subsistence fishery is closed for 7 years, and the chum fishery is unknown to provide subsistence opportunity for fall chum. So I just have great concern about having bycatch as a profit for industry. And right now, the Sea Share program is unable to provide any bycatch donations to the most remote. So our state really needs to invest in this opportunity to have our wild salmon return to those that are most impacted. And really, this is not the solution to the problem. And tribes are considering the conservation and the consequences of bycatch in the Bering Sea. And those are my comments.
Thank you so much. Let me double check. I believe that completes our online. Is there anyone in the room who wants to testify on House Resolution 8? Seeing none, I will close public testimony. For those watching online who did not have an opportunity to testify, you can email your written testimony to house.fisheries@akleg.gov, and it will be uploaded into the public record. And I would just like to let the committee know that we sent you a CS working draft last night. I'm not going to take that up. Decided that it's much too prescriptive, and I would like to rework that over the weekend and really get a broader statewide package going forward. So let's continue to work on that together. I think something that we can all get around. So For our second and final agenda item today, we will bring back SCR 10, Joint Legislative Seafood Industry Task Force, and its second hearing by the Senate Finance Committee is carried by Senator Stevens. So I will now open up public testimony on SCR 10. So is there anyone in the room who would like to testify on SCR 10? Let's see, Stephen Wright. Oh, he was just here. Is he out in the hallway? We'll come back to him if he comes. So I will go next to the Anchorage LIO, Ernie Weiss. If you would please state your name for the record, you have 2 minutes.
Good morning, Chair Vance, members of the House Fisheries Committee. For the record, my name is Ernie Weiss. I'm Natural Resources Director for the Aleutians East Borough, which includes the communities of Akutan, Cold Bay, Falls Pass, Nelson Lagoon, King Cove, and Sand Point. Our region is heavily dependent on commercial fishing, fishermen, and processors. We support the passage of SCR 10, establishing a joint legislative seafood industry task force. Fisheries and communities in our region are in an unprecedented crisis. Fishermen losing markets, in some cases not being paid for last year's catch, and processing plants closing or for sale. As a former longtime resident of King Cove, this is personal for me and my family. The King Cove plant reportedly will not operate this year. In the over 100-year history of King Cove, the plant closed only once before, according to my research. The 1976 fire completely destroyed the plant, rebuilt by 1978 with the help of local laborers, while the 1977 summer harvest were processed in nearby Falls Pass. The current plant closing is devastating for this community, a community known for its resilience, but this is stretching the bounds of what is possible for the people of King Cove. But we understand the seafood market turmoil is impacting many communities, fishermen, and processors all over the state. We support the proposed task force and the accelerated timeline as a necessary first step. We support the inclusion of representatives of impacted fishing and processing communities on the task force. The Aleutians East Borough urges passage of SCR 10, and we look forward to supporting the task force when it's formed. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your testimony. Let me see. I believe that is all of our testimony. Stephen Wright was in the room. If he comes back, then... So I will keep public testimony up just in case he had to step out for a moment. But we do have 2 amendments before us. I'd like to note that we have online Greg Smith, the communications director from ASME, and Mr. Tim Lankin is here from Senator Stevens' office. But let's see. Representative McCabe, can you please move amendment number 1?
Thanks, Madam Chair. I move Amendment 1.
Object for discussion.
There has been an objection. Amendment number 1 is just cleaning up some of the language around the members. It was expressed to me concern that because this is such a short timeline on the – do you have the – let's take a brief at ease. back on the record. We are in discussion of amendment number one, which is A.2. There were concerns. This is amendment is regarding the membership, specifically page 3, line 11, 13, 15 through 90. So on lines 11 and 13, when it's talking about processors, because this timeline is going to be very short and over the season that many are fishing, what the language adds is or designee. So it may not be the owner processor, but it can be their representative. And also on lines 15 through 19, this expands the wording, the qualifications for the commercial seafood harvesters, 3 independent seafood harvesters, so that they are, we're targeting Alaskan family owned, you know, privately owned fishermen or their designee, since it is during the fishing season, who actively participate in state or federally managed fisheries off the coast of the state. So this language was to remove this specific salmon, whitefish, and shellfish, and it is not my intent to consolidate that under the appointment. We can try to make sure that we are getting different representatives of the fishery. However, I don't want to have it so prescriptive that we can't find people to participate. And Representative Carpenter asked that we highlight that they are independent. And then there was a request that we expand to federally, that we have state and federally managed fisheries and not just prescriptive to the state fisheries, because that would only represent about half of the fishermen. So I wanted to broaden that a little bit so that we can have all of the fishermen engaging. And I think I addressed everything in the amendment. Do we have any questions on amendment number one? Representative Stutes.
I just want to thank you, Madam Chair, through the chair. I just want to clarify, does this exclude a processor? You say independent and independently owned. Would that exclude something like OBI or Trident or one of the larger processors?
Representative Stutes, on page 3, lines 15 through 19, that is just speaking of the seafood harvesters for the 3 independent seafood harvesters. It is lines 11 and 13 that are regarding the processors, and I just added the word or their designee.
All right. I just wanted to be clear about that. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Any further questions? Representative Hemshue.
Thank you, Chair Vance. I don't know that we necessarily would need a change to do this, but I hope that whoever is considering these applicants would recognize someone who has actively participated and might be retired from fishing, who has the knowledge and has recently fished. So, for example, we had a member of the Board of Fish who was retired from fishing in Southeast, and that gave him the time to be able to participate. So actively participate, I hope, is broadly interpreted to also mean someone who has participated and maybe is not actively fishing right now, so they have the time to do this. And I think that would be up to the discretion of the, is it the president and the speaker?
It is up to the presiding officers, but I believe they would want to follow our intent. So Mr. Lamkin, could you come to the table and speak to the intent of the original wording of actively participate?
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, Tim Lamkin, staff to Senator Stevens. Setting up task forces can be tricky, and having staffed a number of them over the years, and particularly considering the subject matter this time, the intent is to try to create as fair, broadly represented, and balanced of a task force as we can, and the amount of time we have to work on this and set one up. The language of the amendment number one is something Senator Stevens and is not, it's on its face seems rather quite not unreasonable. But with that, I guess I'd ask, indulge me with a brief at ease.
Brief at ease. Back on the record, Mr. Lemkin, would you first answer, you know, the intent of actively participate, and then, you know, feel free to share any concerns that with the languages stated. I'm okay with that.
So the intent of actively fishing was to get folks that are currently active fisher folks that are getting dirty. They're in the mud. They're cutting their hands on the lines and so forth, that have a direct vested stake and interest in this project. That doesn't necessarily mean to preclude folks that are retired from it and have the time. That is a valid consideration. The other component that you may wish to consider on its face, just reviewing the specific language, I note that on line 10 of the amendment, it references off the coast of the state. And so on its face, it made me wonder as to the opposite of that as on the coast. And it made me bring to question, does that mean a carve out for our set netters? If that is the will of the committee, then Senator Stevens would be agreeable, but that appears to be potentially a subset of the stakeholdership in this project that could perhaps be precluded.
Thank you, Mr. Lamkin, for pointing that out. And it is not my intent to exclude those people. So, Representative Carpenter.
Madam Chair, I would like to move conceptual amendment number one to amendment number one to strike the words off the coast of the state and add the word Alaskan before the word fisheries.
Is there any objection? Hearing no objection, conceptual amendment to amendment number one has been adopted. Thank you, Representative Carpenter. Representative McCabe.
Thanks, Madam Chair. I'm struggling with line 9 of the bill. It says three members representing the seafood processing sector on behalf of, and then you go into your amendment, which says following processors, insert, or their designees. So this would read then three members representing the seafood processing sectors on behalf of two large seafood processors or their designees. So the language is hugely not only redundant, but it is broadening it so much that they could put virtually anybody on there. So on behalf of their designees, what does that mean?
Representative McCabe, it's seafood processors or their designee, meaning if the owner, because it says the own or operate, if that that owner cannot be there at the time, they could send, you know, their director to speak on their behalf, because it is during the fishing season. I wanted to make sure that we would have someone participating in those seats to speak on their behalf.
Well, but it says that already in line A, line 9, paragraph A, it says on behalf of. So it's already there. So now you have it's almost like a double positive. So on behalf of, and then they put a designee in there. So on behalf of their designee, I don't know.
I see your point. What is the will of the committee? Representative Stutes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would say that this is a good opportunity to clean this up just a tad bit so we can take a look at it and go a little further with it. And I don't know, in looking at it, I'm happy to make a conceptual amendment here once I figure out what needs to be made, unless Representative McCabe can come up with it off the top of his head. But I think this is the opportunity to clean that up, whether or not we move it today.
Representative Stutes, it is my preference to clean it up today. So if I may, my recommendation is, I think it is to adopt amendment number one, and then we could conceptually amend the bill and remove on behalf of, because I think it's clear to have or designate after the word processor. But it is Representative McCabe who had the keen editorial eye. What is your preference, Representative McCabe?
I think the resolution is just peachy the way it's written. I think that maybe we're trying to put our Fisheries Committee fingerprints into it, and maybe we should not. But if we want to amend the amendment, I would make a conceptual amendment to strike lines 1 and 2 of amendment number 1. I would move conceptually to strike lines 1 and 2 of amendment number 1.
Is there any objection to conceptual amendment number 2? Hearing none, conceptual amendment number 2 has been adopted. Representative Carpenter.
Just a point of information. You said lines 1 and 2, but we're going to leave or designee on line 5 of the amendment.
So if I might, through the chair, page 3, line 13 I didn't get that far yet, so.
I think, Madam Chair, I think it runs into the same grammatical error as the first conversation.
As well. Yeah.
Do I entertain conceptual amendment number 3?
How about this? I move to table amendment 1.
Object.
I move a friendly table of
yeah.
Brief at ease.
Yes, we need to do most of that back on the record.
Back on the record, we are in discussion of amendment number 1. There has been a motion to table amendment number 1. Representative McCabe.
So I would withdraw my motion to table.
Thank you. We are back on discussion to amendment number 1 as conceptually amended.
So, Madam Chair, I would like to rescind action on my conceptual amendment number 1. Number 2. Conceptual amendment number 2 to amendment 1.
Are there any objections to rescind action on conceptual amendment number 2? Hearing no objection, conceptual amendment number 2 has been rescinded. So we have amendment number 1 with that's been conceptually amended once before us. Are there any further questions? Is the objection on amendment number 1 maintained?
No, it is not.
Okay. Hearing no further objection, amendment number 1 is conceptually amended has been adopted. I can't smile and say that at the same time. Okay. Let's proceed to amendment number 2 and then have the bill before us. Representative McCormick.
Thank you, through the chair. I move amendment number 2.
Object for discussion.
Representative McCormick, there's been an objection.
Thank you, through the chair. Thank you for the opportunity to speak to my amendment. I offer this amendment as I just firstly see it as a way to enhance the task force. Secondly, I think it answers a lot of calls that we've heard for quite some time for more tribal representation on boards and so on. I just really think that having these three representatives really just enhance this task force and bring a perspective that might not otherwise be presented. So that is why I offered amendment number 2.
Questions on amendment number 2? Representative Stutes.
I do have a question. I'm curious as to why 3. I think that's a high number.
Thank you, Representative Stutes. That's to match the number of the other representatives, just to give equal balance on the task force.
Follow up.
Yes, I'd like to make I would like to make conceptual amendment number one to amendment number three.
And what is your conceptual amendment?
I would like to have on this. I would like to add three members from the Senate appointed by the President of the Senate, one of which shall be a minority member, and three members from the House of Representatives, one which shall be a minority member. I spoke with the maker of this document, and they were supportive of that. They felt like with this task force working during the interim, during fishing period, it allows for this committee to continue on with their work when knowing that they will have vested members that will be out fishing, unable to attend. They will have enough of a complement to continue with a robust discussion that will be needed on this task force.
Questions on conceptual amendment number one, Representative McCabe.
Thanks. So this question is probably for Mr. Lampkin. So now we're adding five members to a 16-member board. I'd be interested to know the maker's idea. So now we have 21 members on what was already a huge task force, and I'm wondering what the we could be adding nine depending. So if this is if the conceptual amendment is to add an additional two members from the House and one from being from the majority, and two members from the Senate, one from the being from the minority, that would add nine to an already huge board. So now we'd have 25 members.
There's already
members. I know, but you just added, through the chair, you just added six more.
One House and one Senate.
Two.
Representative Stutes.
Let me amend my conceptual amendment then. It would be a total, I should have said a total of three members from the Senate and a total of three members from the House.
Follow up, Representative McCabe.
So your conceptual amendment is just to add one minority member from each of the House and the Senate
which would be an equivalent of six legislators.
Okay, so yes. Through the chair.
Representative McCabe.
So, Mr. Lampkin, the question then again is five more members, which would be a total of 21 to this board. Is that a issue for you? And I have a follow-up as well.
For me, I'm neutral on that. I would offer the fact that in the past, when we have constructed these task forces, this is consistent with previously established task force to acknowledge or allow participation of one member of the minority of each body.
Follow up. Okay, and the three members from the tribes. I guess I have a series of questions.
We're on
that.
Conceptual amendment number one
now.
Let's stay focused
You're absolutely right. So,
Representative Carpenter, questions on conceptual amendment number one.
The first one, for the record, I think we are on amendment number two, and we're discussing conceptual amendment number one to amendment number two.
Right.
I just want to clarify that for the record because it might have been misspoken earlier, and I just want to make sure that we're good. It can be difficult. That's all I have to say at this time.
Representative McCormick.
Thank you. Just a question, or through the chair, question for the maker of the amendment. I guess I just would like more clarification on what your amendment is. Given that the original amendment is to add tribal members, originally when you offered it, I was under the assumption that you were saying we should have six tribal members, but I'm maybe misunderstanding that. And so I guess I would just like to say too, posit that I think if we're going to make a pretty substantial conceptual amendment, I think it would be useful for us to have it in writing before we go and put it forward. But Yeah, if you could answer that question. Thank you.
Yes. My conceptual amendment, what it does simply is it adds two additional members to your amendment, one from the Senate minority, one from the House minority.
Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to know what the Senate minority is, because they do not have one.
I can help in this regard.
Mr. Lampkin.
Tim Lampkin, staff to Senator Stevens. I happen to have this language, and it, as regards the Senate, and one of which shall be among an unrecognized minority of the Senate organization, be representative, House of Representatives, one of which shall be among the recognized minority of the House organization.
I am going to respectfully oppose this conceptual amendment for a couple of reasons. I don't believe it's clear to members, and also the language that's in the bill does not preclude the presiding officers from appointing someone in the minority. What I hope to see of the members, all of the, any member, whether it's from our legislative body, whether it's seafood processors, harvesters, or community members, that it's people who can best represent people in the seafood industry so that we can help keep them from economic peril. And whether that's someone from the majority, the minority, tribal members, it's the ones who can best engage, because we have a very short time frame here. But I understand the intent behind it. That is often a common practice, but this is a quick sharpshooting thing that we need to choose the best members possible. And the language as is written does not preclude minority members on either body from being appointed. So final wrap up, Representative Stutes. Oh, my apologies. I didn't see you, Representative McCormick.
I apologize for not making more noise over here. Through the chair. Representative Stutes, I still am kind of unclear on the amendment. So this would be adding tribal members. No. So two members to every one of the different stakeholder groups. Do I understand?
Representative Stutes, if you could restate your conceptual amendment number one to amendment number two.
My conceptual amendment would be adding one House minority member and one Senate minority member in the unorganized minority. And as I stated earlier, I agree with the chair that this is going to be taking place this summer. It's going to be a busy summer for a lot of people, and having extra bodies there allows for the business of this task force to continue on when some of the members may be unable to attend due to their fishing businesses. And so, and as I said, I spoke with the maker of this document, who was fully in full support of this idea. And so that's my amendment.
Representative Hemshoop.
Thank you, Chair Vance. Through the chair. So we're looking at adding that, I imagine, on page three, where on lines three through six. And I want to speak in support because I've looked at quorum, and it's a simple majority of the task force. So it could help in making quorum. And if it's traditionally done to include minority members, I think that's valuable. That said, I would only want this to happen if we also add the tribal members, because otherwise we start to get too many legislators. We're top heavy on legislators, and I don't think that's the point we're trying to make here. But it's going to be a very busy summer for everyone in our two bodies. So having the flexibility to have one more member makes sense to me, and then adding that minority representation makes a lot of sense to me. So I support the conceptual amendment. And what's tricky here is I support the conceptual amendment on the condition that Amendment 2 passes. So I guess I'll just go ahead and state my support and see what happens.
It doesn't quite work that way, but Mr. Lampkin.
Tim Lampkin, staff to Senator Stevens, just to help here with a technical clarification for legal going forward. So as I understand it, conceptual amendment is in regard to page 3, line 2, which would become 6 members of the legislature, 2 from the Senate and the majority, and adding 1 of the minority in both bodies. So that's lines 2 through 6 on page 3.
Would the secretary please call the roll on conceptual amendment number 1? Representative McCormick.
Thank you. Through the chair, I apologize. I had my hand raised. I didn't mean to step on any toes. I take issue, I think, with these two amendments being intertwined. I would rather have these be separate because I think it might make members unhappy with this amendment. So I support the conceptual amendment, but not as an amendment to my amendment. So can I motion to split the question?
Chair Vance, I'll withdraw the amendment.
Thank you.
Conceptual amendment number 1 to amendment number 2 has been withdrawn. That puts amendment number 2 before us. So are there any further questions on amendment number 2? Representative McCabe.
Thanks. This is for Mr. Lampkin. Is there anything in this that you know of that would preclude a member of a tribe from being on one of the seafood processors, salmon harvester, whitefish harvester, shellfish harvester, or representatives of fishing-dependent coastal communities, rural Western Alaska, Gulf of Alaska, Southeast of Alaska? Nothing would preclude a tribal member from being in any of those seats.
Through the chair, Representative McCabe. So now we're on Amendment 2.
Right.
And adding, so there was a question earlier about adding 3 members. So I'll kind of answer them together. So once, if we're adding 3 new members specifically.
Mr. Lampkin, we are only speaking to the tribal question.
Yeah, that's this.
Just wanting to.
So thank you for the, if you turning to looking at page 3, lines 9 through 24, as has been amended, it could be argued that among those groups, there would likely be someone that's a member of a federally recognized tribe that would qualify. However, and this may be a friendly compromise, since that we're in the business of compromise, is to consider, instead of this language, to on page 3, line 7, after 9 public members, one of whom is enrolled as a citizen of a federally recognized tribe. That would still provide for tribal, specifically tribal representation, and also qualify for these. Just an idea.
Thanks.
Representative McCormick.
Just a comment on that. I don't think that's a compromise. I think you're asking us to disempower the voice of tribal members. So I'm not sure how that's a compromise. I think a compromise is an equally balanced task force. So I would not support that. Thank you.
Representative Stutes.
Let me make sure. Thank you, Madam Chair. Let me make sure I'm clear. I didn't see where any of the other appointments prevented it from being a tribal member. Is that correct?
Mr. Lampkin.
Through the chair of Senator Stutes, I believe that is correct. It's certainly not the intent to preclude tribal representation.
Follow up. So there would be one designated tribal seat, and then depending on how the appointments went, there is the potential to have more than one.
Representative Stutes, amendment number 2 is what we're discussing, and
correct.
It is stating 3 members who are...
I'm aware of that. So my question to Mr. Lampkin was, currently, without this amendment, there's the potential of having 6 tribal members. Is that correct? Depending on the appointments.
16.
Through the chair, Representative Stutes, I suppose that's plausible.
Okay. Thank you.
Representative Himshu.
Thank you, Chair Vance. I'd like to speak to the importance of intentionally hearing the voice of tribal citizens in the state as recognized tribes by both the state and the federal governments. They are co-equal governments, and we're talking about something that is of great impact in tribal communities. So I feel like intentionally asking for that voice to be here is way different from hoping that maybe somebody might be able to speak from that perspective. Plus, when they're speaking from the perspective of the role assigned in this section, we're asking them to wear two hats, and we don't ask that of any other member. So I would like to specifically have tribal voice on this task force and not leave it to chance that we might have.
So I'd like to point out to members that the intent of this task force is for the seafood industry regarding the current economic peril that is being faced. This is not a fishery task force. This is regarding the seafood industry itself. And I think that that is a big factor in considering this. Representative Carpenter.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Speaking from somebody who lives in a semi-rural area and many family members in my area who benefit from being on the road system still rely on salmon as part of their food source. And I can only imagine that families that live off of the road network who rely on salmon as their food source would consider it an economic hardship to be going through a year without having salmon. And that is, when we take a holistic approach to our economy, rural communities that don't have access to fish because of state policy is part of the economy. It is part of the economic problem that the state has right now. And I see the way that this is drafted, the bill or the resolution that's drafted is looking towards economy and making money. We're talking about processors, fishermen, in the activity of making money. And it is the direction of the resolution is not in the subsistence piece of the economy. And I strongly believe that having representation on the board from members of our communities, of Alaskans, whose economic interests are not in making money, but just in survival with regard to the larger economy of fish. And I don't see that that's necessarily represented in the language of the bill. And I get it. I understand, because the big money is in processing, it is in the fishing, it is in all of that. And I get it. It's necessary to the state. But whatever that solution looks like, can't leave the other folks behind that aren't making money off of it. They're just trying to live. And I don't see that those people have a voice at the table. That's what I'm concerned about. That's what I would, why I would support this amendment.
Representative Carpenter, I respectfully disagree, because there is specifically a section for three representatives of fishing dependent coastal communities outlined. So those are the ones who are relying on the seafood industry and the income, who are being impacted, who could be tribal members, members of CDQ groups, mayors, anyone in those communities who see the impact of the seafood industry and be able to speak to that. This is not a broader fishery discussion. This is those who make a living on the seafood industry and are relying on that because of the market conditions. I think we need to stay focused on exactly what this task force is for. It is my hope that after this task force, that we can have this discussion again and have a long-term task force that takes a couple years that looks at the fishery as a whole, where there would definitely be specific tribal representation, where we talk about all of the fisheries as a state, the sustainability in relationship to the seafood industry and those who rely on it for subsistence and other things. But this specific piece right now is a short step to address a very pertinent issue that's happening with the seafood industry. And so I don't want us to lose sight of what the purpose of this task force is for. Further on amendment number two, Representative Hemshue.
Thank you, Chair Vance. I'm curious if Senator Stevens' office has a position on this.
Mr. Lamkin.
Through the chair, Representative Hemshue, only having just received this morning, I have to say we'd be neutral in this matter. Again, I would offer, as an attempt as a friendly amendment, to perhaps instead have on page 3, line 2021, under three representatives of a fishing dependent coastal community, at least one of whom is a member of a tribe. But again, just a thought.
Representative McCabe.
So just a comment, 20% of the people in Alaska are Alaska Natives. They are not co-equal governments. You've said that before, and that is simply not true. I think that there needs to be representation from all facets of the industry, but where do we end? So there's a huge number of Filipinos in Kodiak working the canneries. Maybe we should put Filipinos on here. Where are we going to stop that? This is a very tightly defined, as Representative Vance said, task force designed for the seafood industry. It will likely have a number of natives on there just based on rural western Gulf of Alaska, southeast Alaska, where they live. And I think that is more representative. I think what I hear you saying is that I'm incapable or Representative McCormick are incapable of representing natives just because we are not native. Neither one of us is native. So I'm not so sure that that's the direction we're trying to politically drive this board, or that we even want to drive it politically like that. This is a task force very tightly designed to do one thing. And I'm not so sure that we need to put all races and all colors. And I'm not so sure we need to get into the politics of that. Why don't we just do this as written and as the senator had written, and the intent of it, and if we need a larger board with more representation to deal with the entire state fisheries, then maybe we should do that.
Representative Suits.
I'm interpreting this resolution to be more of a focus on the marketing and the issues of marketing the seafood as I am the actual different sectors, i.e. sport, commercial, or subsistence. I think this is more of a idea to work together with the industry as a whole, and I don't think that it's limited to native, non-native processors or fishermen. I think it's all of us together, and I think that the point of having people involved, I think it goes back to what the chair said. We want to have the people that are most prepared and I'm not sure how I'm trying to say this, to work, that are involved in fisheries but yet are marketing people as well. And I don't think that has a focus on subsistence. I appreciate what you're saying, and I understand, Representative McCormick, the idea that I think that the native population should be involved and will be involved and has every opportunity to be involved. And that's just my thought. I think you're right, Madam Chair, that maybe we're kind of losing a little bit of the focus, and this is going to be focused more on the marketing aspects of the fishing industry.
Representative McCormick.
Thank you. Wow. Kind of have a mouthful of blood right now, kind of biting my tongue. It's a lot of just factually inaccurate information that was just stated on the record. First of all, tribe does not necessarily indicate Alaska Native. Tribe is, in fact, a political subdivision. It is a government entity. That was the purpose of the resolution in 2018, or law in 2018 that recognized tribes. So this statement that it's a racial designation is inaccurate. They are a political subdivision. And moreover, perhaps I'm misunderstanding the debate at hand right now, but I think there's kind of this understanding that by including tribal representation in this, we're making this a subsistence issue, when actually tribal governments do engage in the commercial fishing industry. And that is why I want them to be a part of this resolution, because they are stakeholders in the seafood industry. So this rhetoric around this being a racial thing is not necessarily the intent of this. This is including key stakeholders in this discussion and affording them the opportunity to make decisions that will impact the industry that they are participating in. And so I think that's all I had to say. I just think it's imperative that we get this representation on here. And frankly, I have to ask members who don't want to support this, what are you afraid of? What would be so wrong with having, as I stated, individuals who are participating in this economy? What is wrong with having them at the table? Because I feel like we've argued ourselves out of representation. So what are you afraid of?
Representative McCabe.
Thanks. So you said it exactly right, Representative McCormick. There are many, many, many natives involved in fisheries. I know some of them in Kodiak, from Kodiak, from Old Harbor. So likely they will be part of the board. So my question to you is right back at you. What are you afraid of? Are you afraid that they will somehow be excluded? Mm-hmm. Why? I mean, if they're a major part of the fishery and they're from, and we have, why would we possibly want to exclude somebody, regardless of whether they're part of the tribe or not, if they are from this village? I mean, you just said it all better than I could have said it. What are you afraid of? Are you afraid that they're going to be excluded? Because I think that the tribes and the villages are a major part of our fishery.
Representative Stutes.
Thank you. I think you have some really valid points, and I understand what you're saying, and you're exactly right. I know that we have a fairly new, or let me rephrase that, expanding processor in Kodiak, the Chunyak, and it's the Chunyak tribe, and they're doing an incredible job, and you're absolutely correct. They are involved in marketing the product, and I would fully expect, just by their participation in Kodiak's fisheries, that they will be included. There's no question in my mind. I don't really haven't determined which way I'm going to vote, yes or no, because I think that I think they will be. I think they should be. But, you know, I don't know. Anyway, I'm just going to leave it at that. I'm not sure where I'm going.
Okay. Representative McCormick.
Thank you. Representative McCabe, what am I afraid of? Our state's history. The fact that it has taken until 2018 for tribal representation to happen when tribes have been around since before even statehood. It's history. That's what I'm afraid of. We have set precedent that we do not acknowledge tribes unless it is on the books. And so, as much as I would like to take the word of this body that there will be tribal representation, there's a lot of history that says that that will not happen. There is a systemic and historical rejection of tribal representation. And so that is what I'm afraid of. Our track record says, oh, yes, we'll do the right thing. We'll get them on there. But in actuality, we don't. And so I am not trying to exclude anyone. Quite the contrary. Quite the contrary. I think we should have more stakeholders at the table, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think this is making this a much more democratic process, and I think the state will be better for it if we are to put this amendment through.
Ready to vote.
I do have one final question for Representative McCormick. Is it your priority that these tribal members, who it's been said they actively participate in the fishery and in the communities, is it your priority that they be identified as community members or fishermen who are actively engaged, or as tribal members?
I think principally my intention is for tribal representation, to answer your question.
Thank you, Representative McCormick.
And I would, excuse me, through the chair.
Would the secretary call the roll on amendment number 2?
Madam Chair.
We are just voting on amendment number 2.
Can we have a brief at ease, please?
Brief at ease.
I would like to make a very brief conceptual amendment to amendment number 2, and I would like the amendment to to say that the tribal members must be involved in the fishery industry.
Conceptual amendment number 2. Would the secretary please call the roll?
On conceptual amendment
number 2 to number 2.
Number 2. 2 amendment. Representative Johnson.
No.
Representative Ocean.
Yes.
Representative McCabe.
No.
Representative McCormick.
Yes.
Representative Stutes.
Yes.
Representative Carpenter.
Yes.
Chair Vance.
No.
4 yeas and 3 nays.
By a vote of 4 yeas and 3 nays, conceptual amendment number 2 to amendment number 2 has been adopted. So that puts amendment number 2 as conceptually amended before us. Would the secretary please call the roll?
Representative Hemshoot.
Yes.
Representative McCabe.
No.
Representative McCormick.
Yes.
Representative Stutes.
Yes.
Representative Carpenter.
Yes.
Representative Johnson.
No.
Chair Vance.
No.
4 yeas. Nays.
By a vote of 4 yeas and 3 nays, amendment number 2 is conceptually amended has been adopted. So that puts the resolution for us as amended. Okay, are there any final questions on the resolution? Hearing none, would the secretary please call the roll on SCR 10? I apologize, I need a motion.
Madam Chair, I move that the House Special Committee on Fisheries move CS for SCR 10 version 33-LS1469 version S.A from committee. As amended, that's SDA.A as amended from committee with attached 0 fiscal notes and give legislative legal services permission to make any technical or conforming changes.
Hearing no objection, CS for SCR 10 as amended has moved from committee, and I would ask the members to stay to assign the committee report. That concludes our business for today. The House Special Committee on Fisheries will meet again on Tuesday, April 30th at 10 a.m. to bring back House Resolution 8, Fisheries Bycatch Resolutions, and to consider the Governor's appointee to the Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission, Mr. Mike Picaro. Seeing there is no other business before the committee, we will adjourn. Let the record reflect it is 11:21 a.m.